Let's just pray. Lord, I want to thank you for gathering us together. I want to thank you for the opportunity to gather together, to be equipped, to be strengthened, and to be built up in you. That, Lord, you have much for us to do. That, Lord, you have promised that you have a bride for yourself. And that, Lord, you want us prepared, Lord. You want us ready for the marriage of the Lamb. So, Lord, as we open our hearts to hear from you, Lord, I pray that you'll speak directly to us and that we will really hear your word and obey your word, that the two words, hear and obey, go hand in hand, that we're not just somebody who hears something in passing, but we listen and obey. Amen. Okay, so I want to read to you a passage from Matthew 26 about the Garden of Gethsemane. So then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell to with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Now, there's about 4 trillion sermons in that passage about all kinds of different things. But when I was praying and asking the Lord, what did he want to speak to us about this morning? I just felt he wanted to speak to us about watch and pray. Watch and pray. And it was about being watchful, being ready. And in that place, you know, it was a difficult place, super difficult place for Jesus. The most difficult challenge that he had ever faced and would ever face, wasn't it? And it actually understates his sorrow, understates the place that he was in, where it says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." It means that when he was sorrowful and troubled, he was groaning and moaning, really, in pain and distress. It was like that. And yet they fell asleep. And you kind of think, why did they fall asleep? Have you ever asked yourself the question, why did they fall asleep? How could they fall asleep when they've been with him all this time? They know him, they love him. How could they fall asleep? We're given an answer in another version of it, where it says that they also were like overwhelmed with sorrow, and this sorrow paralyzed them, really. And Jesus had the rest of the disciples in one place, and then he called the three to be a bit nearer to him, and he clearly wanted others to stand with him, didn't he? Even though he knew he could only go through this by himself, but he needed the others. His heart needed the others. He wanted the others. But he understood them because he said, you know, well, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He understood their limitations. He didn't condemn them for that. But he did give them a warning. He said, it is important that you watch and pray. Because not only did he address Peter when he said, but he was addressing Peter specifically when he said, you need to watch in case you fall into temptation. And what was his temptation? Well, the temptation was that he was going to deny Jesus. That was Peter's temptation. And so he said, you need to be alert. You need to be on your guard. You need to be ready. And Peter did deny Jesus, didn't he? But it wasn't, the message isn't just for Peter. It's for all of us to be awake. And especially in these times. And that word that he uses about being watchful is, it means to be vigilant. You know, like really ready, just really ready to be alert. When we went out for our day out yesterday, it was like just so typically spring. It was like, look, there's like little baby lambs and there's daffodils and the sun is shining, and it was just super springy, you know, and it was like just obviously spring. And spring comes, and we know when spring comes, we can enjoy spring, but we know that spring heralds something else, don't we? We know that spring, if we've had spring, we're going to have summer. And if we've had summer, we're going to have autumn. And if we've had autumn, we're going to have winter. We know kind of how it goes. And Jesus talks in these terms. I'm not going to get out all the scriptures. But Jesus talks in these terms about readiness. You know, he says the farmer does certain things at certain times of the year, knowing what's coming. You know what's coming next. And the word for us today is to be aware of the seasons and the times that we're in. Just as the sons of Issachar were ones who saw the signs of the seasons and were aware of the seasons. And just before this story here about the Garden of Gethsemane, then in chapter 25, we have the parable of the 10 virgins, which is all about being prepared and being ready, isn't it, for the coming bridegroom. And I was thinking about what are the temptations that come our way that kind of get in the way of our readiness. Because Jesus himself was facing a temptation. You know, what was the temptation that Jesus was facing? I mean, why did he have to pray? He knew what was coming, didn't he? Because he's already told the disciples several times that he's going to die and be raised from the dead, even though they didn't hear it. But he's already told them that. He knows that. But he did go and pray because he was wrestling with something. And that took him to a place of prayer. It took him to a place of not just saying some prayers. It was a place of connection with the Lord. It was a place of connection with the Father. The Father, he needed to hear the Father. He needed to hear him in that moment. So he came to the Father and he brought his request to the Father. This is going to be too hard for me, is what he was saying. This is going to be too difficult. I know what's coming, but I think it's going to be too difficult. And if there is another way, let's do it. If not, then obviously I will do it, you know. And then he yields himself. So the temptation for Jesus was to not go through with it. But he overcame that temptation because of this connection with the Father. And what he must have heard, doesn't say what he heard the Father saying, but obviously he has heard the Father, because he can tell by the way it kind of reads out. So then We look then, what was the temptation for Peter? What was the temptation for the disciples? Well, the temptation, like we've said before, for Peter was to deny Christ. For the disciples, it was to give up. That was the temptation. And in that song, you know, we were singing Waymaker, you know, as Jack pointed out, you know, even when I don't see it, you're working. That's something that we really need to hold on to now. Because when we do see God working, when somebody is delivered, when somebody is set free, when something happens, when somebody responds to something, when we see that, then it's easy to go, oh, yeah. It's much easier, isn't it? But when we don't see, that's the hard time. And we will be in places where we see and when we don't see. So there'll be days when we see and there'll be days when we don't see. And as Jack was so good, when Jack said, you know, it is, you know, a cloud goes over the moon, a cloud goes over the sun, but it's still there, you know, but it's... So then we kind of move it out a little bit more and we say, well, what is our temptation? Now, sometimes when we hear the word temptation, we can tend to think, well, you know, it's some sort of big things, you know, like someone running off with their secretary or something, you know, like, weird. But just, you know, like big things, you know, temptation, big sins, you tend to think, but often they're not, are they? There's much smaller things which come to us, which bother us. And so we need to be aware, it says, of the strategies of the enemy. So one of the strategies of the enemy is to keep us in loops, to keep us in loops of thinking, to keep us in patterns of being, which literally do that. They keep us going round in circles. Now, sometimes someone might be able to come in and break you out of that. But oftentimes, it's something you have to do yourself. It's something you have to face yourself. It's something you have to be honest with God about yourself. And something you have to do a Jesus thing and bring that to God yourself. Because what happens is, as well, another thing is that we get dulled in our senses. We get dulled. We get into our loops and it becomes routine, pattern way of thinking, and we're not alert anymore. It kind of dulls our senses. And so what the Lord is saying to us is, let's stay awake. Let's stay awake, because this... other things he wants us to do, other places he wants us to go, other ways of being effective than just staying in a loop. And I'm not saying everybody's in a loop. Only you know your own life. Only you know your own heart. I know my own life and I know my own heart and my own loops, you know? So I just want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. So, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, verse 6, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Oh dear. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So the need to stay on course, to stay on track, is what faces every Christian. And the temptation to be dulled, the temptation to be off track, the temptation to be caught up in cares is a big one. I'm not talking about us you know, being persecuted, you know, that's a whole other ball game, but it follows the same principles. So I just want to quickly look at another verse. And you know this parable really well. I actually did mention it not so long ago, but so this is the parable of the sower, and verse 19. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Now the word there for the worries of this life is the same word that's used for cast your cares on the Lord. It's the same word. And the thing about this word, which I remember doing a talk on peace, is that it actually literally means to be divided up, to be split up into bits. So the world pulls us apart, basically, because the things in the world cause us concerns, but it pulls us apart. And that's what's so great about the word shalom, because that means you're brought back together. That means wholeness. So the pulling apart, the cares of the world, they choke the seed and they stop us from being alert. And it says, you know, cast our dissipations, really. It says anxieties, but it is like all those dissipations, all those things which dissipate us, cast them on the Lord. And then it says, be self-controlled and alert, which is the watchful word. It's exactly the same word again being used. Be watchful. And Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And you kind of go, how can I be anxious for nothing? You know, there's so many things to be anxious about. How can I be anxious for nothing? But it says more, doesn't it? So if someone can find me Philippians 4. Find it myself. There we go. Yeah, so rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything that's dissipated, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I can sense, you know, there's like a lot of bits of things that I'm kind of throwing out there. It doesn't seem to like be hanging together as one thing. But just bear with me. It's important that we stay vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks round seeking whom he may devour. Now, that could be something which makes everybody really scared, which is what, like, what was your name? Rebecca was saying before. And also what makes it slightly more scary is what it actually means is he goes round trying to pick people off. That's actually what it means. It doesn't mean that he has this general mandate to eat people, you know. He'll go for specific people. And that sounds really bad, but actually, I mean, I looked in quite a few places about that, so it wasn't just like one weird theological standpoint. That's actually what it means. And, you know, we know the whole thing, the whole concept of predator and prey. You know, you've got all these, you know, little lambs bouncing about the place, haven't you? And you've got a wolf, and he's going to come for the one that's not hiding, or the one that's not in a safe or secure place, or whatever the prey is. We know that the laws have designed it so that animals are all really good at looking out for their prey in lots of different ways. So kind of being aware that you're a target not supposed to fill you with fear. Complete opposite. It's the complete opposite. Why would he say that? Why would Peter say that? You know, if he just wanted to make us feel good, he wouldn't have said that. But he said it because we need to know it. He said it because we need to be alert. We need to be vigilant. We need to be aware of our weak places. We need to be aware of those agendas. We need to be aware of our cycles. We need to be aware of the things which dull us down. But he says, you know, really, he does come in power. He does come when we pray. He comes in response to strengthen us. But the important thing, and with all these weeks that we've had before up to this point, have been about prayer, about developing a prayerful relationship with God, about developing intimacy with God, about developing, just really developing the closeness to the Lord. And in the season that we're in, it says that we are called to be bright lights shining in the darkness, to be stars shining in the darkness. Now, I think I learned a new thing this week as well, that the discussion about the heavens and the earth, and then in creation, the heavens and the earth as well, the discussion around the stars, like in the creation story, initially was not only about the created fireballs that we call stars. It was also to do with spirituality and the spirit realm, because they didn't see, you know, because obviously heaven isn't up there, really, is it? We know heaven's like really, it's like another dimension, really, isn't it? Heaven's not up there. We look up there, we don't see God sitting on a throne, do we, in heaven? It's not how it works. So we are, when it says we are bright stars, it's also talking about our heavenly role. It's talking, you're not just a shiny human. I mean, you might be a shiny human, but you're more than that. You're more than a shiny human. You are a spiritual being from another place almost, you know. That's what you are. And yes, you are of the earth, aren't you? Because, you know, but we're also of the Lord, aren't we? We're citizens of heaven. And we were recreated, you know, Christ was a new Adam. So in our role as these shining stars, it's not about trying to be more and more shiny and getting down on yourself when you're not so shiny. It's all about getting close to the Lord and being awakened to wake up, wake up. And I think he's saying, wake up, church. Amen. Not wake up and do some more. Not wake up and perform better. Not wake up and be a great place that, you know, people just love and they feel a little bit better when they come to church and then go away. It's not about that. He's got a huge agenda going on. A big agenda. Too big. Too big for us. Too big for you. Too big for me. To bring all things together under one head, which is Christ. Well, that's his job, isn't it? But he's called us to be these shining lights. And the way we get shiny is just in our communion with Christ. And in that communion with Christ, we're being filled with the Spirit. You know, the oil of our lamps is being renewed. We bring the cares and concerns of the world to him. And as Sarah rightly pointed out, we remember that he says that we're important to him. You know, we're not just a nothing to him. He is really bothered about us. But he doesn't want us to be stuck in a loop of seeing to our own needs either. You know, he wants us to focus on him and listen and be hearers so that we can, and this is another sermon really, to be ones who then obey. And what that means is a big thing for the church at the moment, is to be a church that obeys and what that means. So this morning, he just wants to encourage us to awaken to who you are as this star in a dark place, that we would sort of herald in, bring people into an awareness of who God is. And when we're walking closely with him, then that's when we can start stepping into, say, some of the things that Rebecca was talking about and conversations that Dave was talking about. You're ready, and you're equipped. You're ready, and you know he's with you. And that's a kind of readiness, vigilance, and awareness that he wants us to have. So I just want to pray for us, really, to be aware of the things which dissipate us, the things which are our own dissipations, and bring them to the Lord. And the whole thing of, you know, and I know many of us, we do it, don't we? You know, well, I'm going to start doing this now. You know, I'm going to start doing this. We have these, like, you know, resolutions. We just say, well, okay, Lord, what are you equipping me for? Let's ask him, what are you equipping me for? What, not just like, what am I going to do in my, you know, resolved state? Because then it's back to you again, isn't it? So let's bring before him our dissipation so that he can equip us in the way he wants to equip us and knows how best to equip us. And let's walk in intimacy with him, being aware, you know, because we don't want to be picked off, do we? And as Rebecca rightly points out, he who is within us is greater than he who is within the world. But what we don't want to do is we don't want our guards down and us to be unaware and lacking in vigilance. So, Lord, we just pray and bring before you the loops that we get into, the dissipations that distract us. The things which water us down. And we ask, Lord, for you to draw near to us. And we draw near to you as you draw near to us, that you would strengthen our relationship with you. That we would see that we're called to be bright stars in this world. That, Lord, we want to make you famous, Lord. And, Lord, you want a bride who is ready, a bride who's not taken by surprise just because she's already ready. So fill us afresh with your spirit, Lord. Give us really good ears to hear you so that we can really walk closely with you. Amen. Thanks.